Hey everyone, welcome to your monthly Patreon Q&A. I'm Nick.
I'm Kevin.
We're going to talk to you guys about, well, the answers to your questions that you've written in here. Yeah. First of which is Ty Harrington has written in and says, "Hey guys, I recently read all of The Watchmen on the back of a mate's recommendation, clearly British, and followed it up with the movie and then the series. While I understand how original and groundbreaking the comic book could have been at the time, I wasn't in love with it or the film, but I absolutely adored the series. I remember back in the day, I think Kev talking about really liking it and wondering what your guys' take on the original comic and movie were, especially in comparison with the series you both love. What's your take on the comics versus the movie versus the series?"
I really liked the comic. Like, I thought it was a cool examination of what the role of the superhero was, right, at the time. I did think the ending was a little bit, like, I didn't love the ending. I thought, like, well, alien squids coming out of nowhere was random as fuck. And I actually kind of liked the way the movie made it that Manhattan was, like, the big bad guy that everyone was afraid of.
Yeah.
I thought that that kind of concluded the story in a way that made more sense. But that being said, once the show came out, the way they took the story, like, I felt like that made total sense as a continuation of the comic book.
Yeah.
And it kind of made me appreciate the comic book more.
I would agree. Sorry. I think it kind of goes in – am I hitting you there?
No.
I think it kind of goes in – like, I think the HBO series was the best, and then it kind of descends from there. But I like the movie, and I like that. It's one of the few Zack Snyder films that I like. I think it was a really good, faithful adaptation that I think hit, and they made some good choices, like making Dr. Manhattan – like making him – changing it from what was it? It was a nuclear explosion right at the end.
Well, it was like aliens getting teleported in that had, like, a sort of, like – psionic nuclear explosion that, like, killed everyone.
So I like those changes. I like it. I mean, I think they said that they were potentially doing a second season of that HBO Watchmen
show. Yeah, but I think that who was it that wrote it?
And Lindelof.
Yeah, I think he was like, I don't know that I'm there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll and it's see. Like, I'm willing to wait another 15 or 20 years or however long they want, because I really thought season that one was incredible.
That kind of perfect.
Yeah, my favorite comic book continuation.
Cozy Bear says, "What's an old entertainment property from your youth that has faded from the public consciousness, be it a movie franchise, TV show, video game, or otherwise, you would love to see rebooted in the modern era?"
That was an interesting one, because immediately Dredd comes to my mind.
Dredd's
like
good.
The Judge Dredd with Stallone and Rob Schneider, but like they have redone that, and it was definitely a more like closer to the comics in the like the dark tone and got rid of all the dumb comedic stuff. So I had something else. What, do you have anything?
I mean, I always talk about Robotech. I would love to see that rebooted and energized with a really cool director that's my age that understands it and wants to make it into something that's awesome, because I stand by the fact that I think Robotech, specifically the Matt Cross saga, could be a awesome three-movie trilogy that would rival the likes of The Matrix or Star Wars if they did it right. They probably won't. They'll never get it. It's been stuck in development hell like Akira, so I doubt that they'll ever do anything with it. But the only other franchise that I can think that I love, that I would love them to modernize, but they'll never do this, and bring over to the States, but they'll probably never do it, is the Lupin series. I would love to see – I think that would be an awesome vehicle for any A-list celebrity or any stars that could take that over. And I think that could be like a 7-series franchise easily, because you could just build out the team with Fuchiko and all the other characters. So I think that would be cool.
So we got a British Lupin recently, right? Was that different?
Yeah, I think that was like a Netflix show. And yeah. I don't know if it was based on the actual Lupin the Third like character or not.
Okay.
I think I started watching it and I was like, this doesn't feel right, but – correct me if I'm wrong. Tweet at me. X at me.
I also feel very fortunate where a lot of stuff that I care about has been, like,
it's currently
picked
being
up.
Remade. Yeah. Like Beast Wars and stuff like that.
Not so much that.
Yeah,
but, I like, what, Ninja Turtles. We just got a new one. And it is a very different adaptation. And, like, honestly, like, I enjoyed it so much. And I'm so ready to have more of that world. Mm-hmm. And it was a cool take. So I'm so spoiled.
At one point, I think The Rock was going to do a Big Trouble in Little China, like, reboot.
I don't think that would work.
I don't know that they'd be able to do that today, but I think he was going to do something with that. But and then play the Jack Burton character, but I think they kind of left that one fall by the wayside as he dug his teeth into Black Adam.
It's interesting, because I feel like I lean more on, like, give me a sequel. Like, let me have another Small Soldiers 2, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
Small Soldiers. I often think of Small Soldiers. Let's see. Jared R. Meyer writes in and says, "Hey, guys, I keep reading reports about SF and all the problems it's facing. As a Florida resident, I know how sometimes the news can make things sound a bit worse than they are, and sometimes it might actually be a lot worse than it sounds. So I was just wondering what your thoughts are as residents of SF are of the city's current condition and what your outlooks are for the future of the city." Oof. Yeah. That's a lot to unpack.
It's a tough question.
You want to kick this one off?
I mean, it's not looking great. Going downtown, which always used to be such an event, definitely isn't the same kind of event. I feel like a lot of times we go there and it's like, oh, look at all these spots that are closed. Or like you finish eating, like we go out to dinner one night and we're like, okay, well, can we go do something else? And we look around and it's like, not much going on.
We do meth.
Yeah, very much available.
Yeah, it's a bummer, man. The city has taken a turn for the worse. It's not. I don't think it's as doom and gloom as I'm assuming a lot of news outlets like to report it, because obviously it's a great news headline. San Francisco, the city of technological progressive advancement, is in a doom loop. You hear all that. I don't think we're in a doom loop. I think that we're facing a lot of challenges from the pandemic. I think we're facing a very big homeless crisis. A big fentanyl crisis that the city is trying to address. But most of all, we're just figuring that we're entering into a new era of just really, really, you know, working from home, hybrid models, online shopping, and a lot of brick and mortar is just going out of business. And that's not necessarily something that's, you know, just central to San Francisco, but it's all those problems combined that are making our city have a really tough time of bouncing back. But they're taking a lot of steps, and I'm pretty hopeful that we'll bounce back eventually. And, every day you read a couple stories about a couple tech companies here and there being like, we miss San Francisco. We want to come back, because you really can't recreate what Silicon Valley, what San Francisco represents to the world and to the greater technological community. It's tough. It's difficult. And I think we have a magic here in the Bay Area that you just can't recreate in other places. So I'm really hoping that as things progress, I think I just read a story that Musk was thinking about. I guess he was going to take it was either Tesla or I think it was Tesla and relocate it to Austin. And then now he's like maybe thinking about bringing it back.
Yeah,
like that.
They already did that, right?
And he's thinking about bringing it back.
They were also, like, one of their factories was in the East Bay, and they had a bunch of issues because, right, like, during COVID, he was like, we're not shutting down.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, well, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously, with Twitter being where it's at, there's a lot of challenges. We're definitely living in interesting times in San Francisco.
Yeah.
But I'm really hoping, really for me, the biggest issue is the drug epidemic and the homeless crisis. That's the stuff that you see a lot of, that you go, like, a store not being open, Nordstrom closing, all that stuff. It's like, it's a bummer, but you know, that's just kind of the natural progression of things. These big department stores are eventually going to go away, and they're going to get, you know, just it's going to be a bunch of places you just take shit back. And that's kind of how it goes. But it really is difficult to walk around San Francisco right now and see people that are in that dire straits, and people who are keeled over, people who are just doing drugs openly, people who just need help, and we're just not doing anything. So
like,
it's tough.
You don't think it's kind of been like that? Like, all of my childhood, that's what San Francisco looked like.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like the stores closing, it's a negative, not in the sense of like, oh, all these retail, but like the touristiness of it and like it being a destination that people travel across the nation or other countries.
A lot of travel.
Seems like I worry that that's going to be a less common thing. And like we already have less people going into offices every single day. Mm-hmm. So it is a little bit concerning of like, will just all of the stores and restaurants that are open, will they have enough to stay alive?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that worries me. Yeah.
It's very worrisome. But hopefully we're bouncing back and we're on the upward swing. And, you know, whatever it's going to look like, it's going to – whatever we do in this city, spoilers, I think is going to get mirrored in a lot of the other cities. Because I have to imagine that, you know, just the retail stuff in general, people work from home. I got to imagine like Chicago, New York, those places are being hit by it too. Maybe not as much because they have a lot of finance and stuff like that. But who knows? Hopefully. I like the city a lot, so I hope it bounces back.
Yeah.
And I think it is.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's had worse crises in the past, or at least crises.
At one point, it burned down. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It gave birth to Daly City.
I didn't know that. That's
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Well, Hyman has written in, said, Kevin, if I remember correctly, you said you were self-taught. How do you decide what to learn next, what new tech to bring into the office?
I am self-taught, and it really has to do with the needs of what we've got going on. So we learned, you know, how to use SRT streaming when the pandemic kicked over, and we wanted to figure out a better way to get video games to look good and send signal over. Same with like this studio. Like we had it, the lab itself set up and it was functioning okay, but we had an issue of the audio. There being a quarter second delay whenever you talked into it, you could hear someone in the background, you could hear them saying. So we had to figure out how to fix that. And it was, so it is just needs that arises. We look around and try to see what technology exists to fix those needs. And then it's like, okay, let me download the manual and read what I can or try to Google these problems and solutions. And it's a mixed bag of finding answers and stuff. And it is cool. Also, I can lean on the team. Like I was having, we had these, the audio working pretty well, but there was still like a staticky noise. And I looked at Nick and I was like, I don't understand where that's coming in. He's like, oh, it's just that it doesn't have enough gain. So he just was like, hey, if you just turn it up here, and like that fixed the solution. So it's a combination of looking things up, seeing what people are posting on forums, reading manuals, and also hitting up my coworkers and seeing what knowledge they have. But yeah, it also is like the way we figure out what we're adding is what needs do we have and what solutions are there.
Yeah, it's really cool. And Kev does a great job of that. Like, just the audio solution alone is the fact that it's all synced up and sounds better now is just night and day from where we were before. And a lot of that was just like, you know, we were trying to get the studio up and running. We were like, what is the path?
Yeah.
A lot of production spoilers is what is the path of least resistance?
Yep.
Right? What is, we want everything to be 100%, but when, you know, the chips are down and we're up against the deadline, sometimes the easiest solution is the best solution. And so we've been fortunate that we've been able to bring a couple other better things into the lab in the last couple months that just really, really, really made everything so much more pleasant and fun to be a part of when you're playing streams with five people in here.
Yeah.
It's nice. Let's see. Caleb writes in and says, Nick, living the Mass Effect playthrough, keep up. I think he meant to say loving the Mass Effect
playthrough. That makes
keep
sense.
Up the good fight. ask Tim, Final Fantasy 16 spoiler cast when? I'll ask him that. He's out of the office right now at a wedding, but I'll
think
ask him that.
The big problem with that is a bunch of them haven't beaten Final Fantasy 16. We've got a lot of games coming out, and they're doing a bunch of stuff. I think if you click up top, it opens it, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm just keeping my place here.
Yeah,
I tend to lose my place.
That's the big question of when they're going to finish it. But I imagine, you know, when we get closer to December, that might have more time to play, and this is a big game for a lot of people. I really want to give this game a shot, too. Have you tried it all?
No, but Tim said that I actually might like it.
Yeah, that's what he's
because it's
me
a lot
too.
More combat-based, which I think is cool. But, dude, I have...
There's so many things. So
Jedi
many things.
Survivor to finish, so...
You're close.
And then I got to beat Zelda. I got to get back into Zelda. I've played maybe 2 hours of that game, so...
Oh, man, I'm at 208.
I mean, I'm at 45 hours for Jedi Survivor.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It's so fun. What
I had to speed line the last little bit. But, like, man, I love that game.
Just exploring. I forget the main area. I'm just exploring the hell of that and doing all the rumors. And now I'm going to do all the bounties and stuff just to get my stims up to, like, 10. I think 10 might be the max.
Yeah.
Excited about it. Let's see. Eric Myers writes and says, what's up, guys? With you two seeming playing a major part in getting the studio built and teched out and all of that, what was something difficult that you thought would be easy, and what was something easy you thought would be difficult? Thanks for all you do. Kevin, your laugh gets me through my days. Nick is pretty cool, too.
Oof. Thank you. Nice compliments.
Yes, nice. I don't think anything was easy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, the biggest thing that I was like, oh, that'll be simple enough is the internet. Like,
yeah.
We're still having issues with it, and it's just such a little hassle of, like, remember when they were like, hey, do you have your firewall set up? And we were like,
isn't that
something you bring in a box?
Yeah, it's that when you go into like enterprise level stuff, infrastructure, it comes with it so many levels, layers mm-hmm. of complexity, which is good stuff. I mean, a lot of it's security based, a lot mm-hmm. of it's like, you know, for ease of use and whatnot. But man, if we could have just plugged in Sonic.
Oh, that would have been awesome. You know,
because everyone's
simple.
Like, this is what always happens. We do these calls with these vendors. And they go, where's your firewall? Who's your IT person? And we're like, we don't have these things. And they go, but you're a business. We go, but we don't need them.
Yeah.
We had two Comcast internet connections last time.
They both sucked.
And they both sucked, but we had two just in case one went out.
one was for uploading. Yeah.
That's what it was. And I'm like, that was a, you know, $200 solution or $300 solution to a problem that we had that was easy. And so a lot of that stuff, when you go up to an office that's 4,700 square feet or however big we're in right now, everything just gets amplified and way more complex. But luckily, the last, like, I would say a few months have just been sort of like minor issues with the power go out. last week or two weeks ago, which was fucking twice it went out, and I was like, great. And then, that was one thing that popped up. Power went out one time. Kevin calls me, hey man, lights aren't coming back on. I was like, okay, keep trying. He's like, I'll just keep trying to reset them, and they calls back like 30 minutes. He's like, they came back on. I was like, okay. So sometimes problems just solve themselves, but you can't really, unfortunately, count on that. I'm trying to think of any other examples.
The only thing for easy was, like, I think that the getting back in the groove of everyone coming back and being in person again, like, I thought that went so smoothly, and it's like, yeah, we clicked back. Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised by how, I think we did a couple of them. Tam and Lucy were here, and Tam was like, wow, you guys don't understand how, like, fun that is to hear you guys talk live again. And it was really cathartic and fun for us.
Did we ever post that?
I think we ended up I don't know. It's a good question. We should ask him. Maybe we'll post that for the patrons. I think we did.
We probably did.
I could be wrong. Hey, y'all. I'm tired of these new kids, Blessing and Barrett, getting their own special YouTube videos. It's Nikki and BKD's time to shine. What YouTube special video or series would you like to create, both individuals and together? Thanks, BJ Bernardo. What series would we like to create? I don't know. I love doing stuff in movies. I would love to do... I always chide Tim. I'm like, I'd love to do, like, John Carpenter in review or something fun like
just
that.
Just, like, random little interviews.
Pick a director and just go through them all. We've talked about... We did Nolan, obviously. I'd love to do just bad movies in review. I love doing the Disaster Cast. I love doing stupid shit like that where it's like... Honestly, I just... There's such a fun, beautiful nostalgia in watching good, bad movies. And I just wish I could do more of that. We just don't have... We literally don't have enough time in the day to do them. But that's something I'd love to do.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've had a lot of fun doing content with us, but, like, I think at this point, kind of done everything I wanted to. Screencastle's a lot of fun. It's a little bit more hectic, and I don't know that I can get back in the groove of actually ever hosting that show again, but it was a lot of fun while it lasted. Yeah, for other shows, I think right now, like, I'm just trying to make sure that we get everything, like, running smoothly. And I'm hoping to get to a point where I'm like, it's all good, but I fear that day will never come.
No, it's always going to, the car's always going to need some maintenance.
Yeah.
I'll just put it that way, but, yeah. It's actually been really fun watching, like, Blessing dig into the Blessing show and seeing how the studio can be used and just being like, oh, it's cool. Everyone's seeing sort of the flexibility and the vision for it all. It's been really cool.
I do want to say that I have had a lot of fun with, we did KFAF.
That was fun.
We were able to sit down and cue a couple things in there with lighting and
really
some
cool
videos playing on the wall. And it's
really
like, I'd love to integrate more of that in our everyday.
Yeah, I guess that would be a good, that's a great example of just doing something more creative. Flexing like that and dialing those moments in as, like, actual lighting moments.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough for us to do that because it's just really Kevin running the infrastructure of the studio. So, you know, they came up with a way for Andy to run some of it on his phone with a Stream Deck, and that was all really cool.
That's really cool.
Using the Elgato Stream Deck. So it was like, Elgato, right?
Yeah.
Stream Deck.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is cool. And that gives us ultimate flexibility so that Kevin can not have to grow a third arm to be able to do all these lighting
things. Or even, like, the timing things of, like, whenever it feels natural to Andy, he can press the little, you know,
to put it in context, so everyone knows, like, I think Rooster Teeth, when we used to go at the height of their production capabilities, had, like, 4 people on their control.
Yeah, we've always just had one.
We just usually have one, so that's what we're up against. But we do, we have some fun with it, and we get creative.
I also built this studio with that in mind.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of, like, and we're close to getting it so that we can run everything from one computer. It's just one little IT problem that I can't figure out. And, like, we've hired IT people to come and check things out, and they can't figure it out. They're like, oh, we've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, that's the other problem with what we do is that nobody else does it.
Yeah.
People are like, why would you only want to run that with one person? I'm like, why would you want to run it with 4?
Yeah.
Seems weird.
Yeah.
It's a lot, yeah.
It's a lot of people to hang out for this podcast.
Yeah. A lot of man hours. Let's see. Carlos Jimenez asked a similar question to, I think it was Cozy Bear. No.
Ty? No, it wasn't Ty. You're right. No.
It was Jared.
Someone earlier.
I was living in SF. I've been getting plenty of TikToks lately showing how bad it's gotten with the homelessness and crime, but I don't know if it's just sensationalism. I live in Madrid, so I don't know. I don't even know why my algorithm feeds this stuff to me, lol. I just hope all you guys are doing well. We talked about that a little earlier today. It's tough. But, you know, we're very hopeful that that we're making some progress with the problem, especially with the drug problem. I personally, in my neighborhood, have seen less of it, which is good, but you never know. It's always hard to tell with, like, are we just, like, putting all the players on the field because there's an election coming up, or are we actually seeing progress? So I don't think we're actually going to see anything like big. I don't know if we're actually going to get like a good sort of benchmark or litmus for like what the city really is until like mid 2024 when everything when I think Breed's up for re-election. Mm-hmm. I think she's up for that then. But really, unfortunately, with San Francisco, it's like San Francisco is like a microcosm of a bigger statewide problem. California is really going through. LA's got it bad. A lot of the bigger cities have it bad. So. It really is something we have to solve at both the state and the federal level, unfortunately. Mm. And I think that the solution for it is just if you guys could share some of your free healthcare with us, that'd be awesome. I think that'd be really, really nice.
I think one thing I do want to add that is like, yes, downtown San Francisco is uglier than it has been. And that's not even true. It just doesn't feel like it's recovering very well.
Yeah.
But like as soon as you go outside of like the more centralized downtown area, I do think things feel more normal and not as bad.
Oh, like, definitely.
Yeah, there was a little bit more of, like, we were seeing homeless people in different areas, but, like, that kind of seems like that's pulling back a little bit from the area, at least, that I live in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gotten a little bit more centralized back to where it was. We have an area called the Tenderloin in Soma. Those are the areas that I think a lot of it for the city kind of radiates out from those areas. And I think it's gotten sort of like more centrally located back in there. Like I spent a lot of time in North Beach, which is a wonderful district in San Francisco. And you could walk down the streets of like Columbus and Broadway or Columbus and like, you know, down by Cobb's Comedy Club on a Saturday afternoon and no one's
bothered by anything.
It's totally fine. You may see a couple people here and there doing stuff that maybe they shouldn't be doing. But for the most part, everyone's enjoying the sun and having a glass of wine like you would if you were in Madrid. So, you know, it's not doom and gloom. You're not walking around San Francisco being like, how many guns do I have to carry with myself right now to protect myself? For the most part, you never really feel unsafe. It's just, you know, it just takes a toll on you to see people in need that aren't, you know, maybe getting the help or you know, it's like, here's a perfect example. The guy that the nice family that runs my liquor store, they're constantly getting robbed. Sorry.
It's okay.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I can't sit there all night and police this because it's not, I can't be, you know, stopping people from entering their place. There's not a lot of things they can do to stop that right now. And so we're hoping to get that changed and a lot of that stuff. But it's just, what do? You know, the Walgreens next to me gets robbed all the time. And these people are getting paid. They're not police officers.
Yeah, no.
And they're not security guards. They're not. It's not their job to stop people from doing that and potentially get into a violent altercation. So it's just, it is tough to see that a lot of the time. But, you know, some of that is just goes along with what Kevin was talking about. It's a big city.
Yeah.
You know, that is kind of big city living, unfortunately, specifically in the States here. But, again, it's not that's not an excuse. We should be trying to make it better at all times. So
real quick, I thought of a movie that I'd want to see redone now.
Give it to me.
I'd like to see a new take on Escape from New York.
Oh, yeah.
I think that'd be fun, yeah.
Co-op 64 says, Nick and Kev, little love and sex question for you guys. After a great first date, when do you ask the girl on the second date, thanks for what you do?
I mean, did you stop talking? Because I feel like you just never stop talking, right?
Yeah, I mean, you always kind of like text them the next day. Hey, I had a great time with you. Love to see you again.
I text them that night. I mean, damn, that was fun. What are you watching?
Bro, I mean, unless you're not doing it right. You
know, I'm watching about Suits.
What do you got? You want to watch? Yeah, I invite her over to watch some Suits with you, co-op. That'd be fun. I would say, like, you know, I would drop her. I mean, I'm assuming at this point this came in on the 13th. Let's see, what are we at? Okay, drop her a line. You know, today, tomorrow. I really enjoyed going out with you. I'd love to see you again, and then just see where the conversation picks up from there. I don't think there's. I don't buy into that bullshit. Wait 2-3 days.
No, that's nonsense.
If you like someone, be honest with them and just tell them what you want. And if you know, if they don't want the same thing, just be cool. But I'm sure they will. Max writes in and says, "Has there ever been talks of Kevin becoming a fourth co-owner of Kinda Funny?"
I don't think so.
No, yeah. I mean Kevin has. You know, Kevin
I have some stake.
Has stake in skin in the game, as we say.
Missed that train.
Yeah. Tyler Henderson says, please tell me you guys are considering in review for the Continental.
Mm.
And are any of you interested in watching? Yeah. This is the John Wick show.
Yeah.
I imagine we'll add it to John Wick.
Yeah, I'd imagine without discussing it with anyone else, like, I wouldn't be shocked if we do at least that first episode, like, live reaction kind of show see mm-hmm. how people are feel about it. And I think maybe if we like it, maybe we do it for the I don't know if it's releasing in bulk or what, but if it releases in bulk, I imagine we'll do an in review. Mm-hmm. And if it's episode week by week, a little in reaction might be fun if it's fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
But no promises.
Let's see. Alejandro Cruz says, hello, Nick and Kevin. I hope you guys are well. My question relies on your guys' life experience and wisdom. Okay, well, here we go. What advice would you give an early 20s person to navigate through life? Graduated high school right after COVID, and my first years of being out there in the world were COVID times, which threw everything away in terms of any plan. Curious on any advice you guys would have on motivation and verbal life advice.
It's tough. It's so open-ended, you know?
Well, my advice to anyone in their 20s is you got to focus on you. I think all too often people don't have a direction for their lives, don't have an understanding of what they want to do, and so you have a tendency to maybe partner up with someone and make their life your life, or make them a distraction from accomplishing the things you want to do in your 20s. So just be aware of that, and I think your 20s – and maybe your early 30s is a really, really good opportunity for you to invest in yourself and do the things you need to do to set yourself up for the rest of your life, whether that be career-wise, travel-wise, any of that stuff. And you can't – it gets harder and harder to do that when you have things like wives and kids and mortgages. And that's the stuff that I don't want to say you get saddled up with in your 30s, but let's just put it this way. It's a lot harder for probably me and Kevin to just pick up and go someplace if we wanted to than it would be for you, because you've got all those opportunities right now or potential opportunities in front of you that you can take advantage of.
I think any advice I'd give you is try to have fun. Say yes to adventure when it comes up. You know, if you see an opportunity to help someone that needs help, help them out. You know, make the world better. But, like, just go forth and try to see what makes you happy. Do more of that. And like, be a good person.
Yeah. It sounds obviously like an age old adage, but take risks in your 20s, mm-hmm. calculated risks. I don't mean risks like, you know, unhealthy risks, but I mean like, you know, if you move to a new city, do something, you know, I don't know, try to get an internship, take risks in your 20s that you might not be able to take when you're having later in life, and you'll thank yourself for that.
Yeah, try to take an internship is I feel like that's a big one. Of like, if you see an opportunity and you're like, don't let yourself just be like, ugh, I bet a bunch of people are doing that. Oh, no, try and do that.
Go after it.
And you're like, hey man, there's one internship that I'm interested, but there's four other ones that are in the same place.
Yeah,
maybe apply to all of them and see what happens.
I think that's a good point. I mean, just having an understanding of kind of like, hey, this is where I kind of want to go, and mm-hmm. then actively going after that stuff, finding those opportunities, I think that's super important. And also, we're on the advice train right now. Piece of advice that I wish I had when mm-hmm. I was in my 20s, find a mentor. If you know what you want to do, find someone who can mentor you through that process. It's so much better than just floating out in the middle of a lake by yourself and not knowing which direction to go into. Find a freaking lighthouse and someone that can help you swim in the right direction and go in that direction. Because that's something that I really missed out on in my 20s and 30s. I kind of had to just... I mean, I guess Fran was the closest thing I had to a mentor. And
who's your age?
He was my age. I mean, you could have a mentor that's younger than you, too, in the subject. Sure. But it's just a matter of, like, figure out the direction you want to go to, have a vision for your life, and then surround yourself with people who can help you out with that and or guide you. I think that's really important. Let's see. Sawu says, what's up, Nick and Big Kev Dog? I know both of you are snack experts and have guilty pleasures when it comes to food. From the IE, which I believe means Inland Empire.
Yeah.
And I've kind of grown stagnant on my go-to food spots. If there's anything in SoCal that you guys always go to grab a bite for while you're down there, could be anywhere from LA to Ventura.
Damn, dude. We spent, like, I don't know. When it comes to me and traveling for work, we spend so little time exploring the areas that we're in that it's, like, whatever work event we're at, or like we'll go and get like a nice dinner, you know, it's all way too streamlined. That's one thing that I feel like I haven't explored the cities that we've gone to.
Yeah.
You know, who's got the time?
You don't have the time.
Yeah.
You don't have the time when we're sitting in, like, you know, it's tough. But for SoCal, I would say there's a great little known restaurant chain.
Oh, Lord.
Called Taco Bell.
I knew it. I knew that's where it was going. You didn't even say Del Taco. They have Taco Bell.
He's had Del Taco. If he's from the Inland Empire, he's had Del Taco.
He's had Taco Bell.
That's true. obviously, you probably had Rigoberto's as well as the Alejandro's, all those, all the Dros. That's a tough one. Portillo's is always fun. I'm sure you've already gotten that already. It's tough, man.
Yeah. I you know what I've been having fun with is just opening up TikTok, and every once in a while I'll get a thing that's like, here in San Francisco, like, this is like, this place makes the best sandwiches. And I was like, you know what? I'll go. And it was a good sandwich. Right. So I've got a couple places saved that I'm like, I'm going to go check that out. I've done it a couple times, and it is cool to, like, find a new spot. Because it's very easy to get into your little, like, oh, these are the five places I order from. I'm going to order from this one on Tuesday, this one on Wednesday. So it's nice to change it up. And I think that, like, I know it's kind of silly to be like, oh, TikTok has helped me out. But, like, it has, you know?
Hey, there it is. The internet prevails. Also, I don't know, have you tried this really good sandwich place called Subway Sandwich? Have you tried that place?
I haven't eaten Subway in years. Many years.
Eat fresh, Kevin. I might get Subway.
I don't believe that you've eaten in Subway any time recently.
I had it yesterday.
Really? Mm-hmm. God.
Because fucking Chipotle let me down, and I was so annoyed by that.
How did Chipotle let you down?
They didn't have any chips.
Oh.
I heard
Subway's chips were really good, though.
They were terrible.
Yeah.
God damn it. They let me down. Final question for this Q&A comes from Mr. Hoax 182. Says, first, Nick, pretend I made a funny joke about your age. Cool. I'm too sick to think of anything right now. Okay.
Oh, no. Get better.
Yeah, I hope you get better.
but do you really?
No. Not with that great crack about my age that you started this off with. Now a question for both of you. Are there any dream projects you'd want to do at KF, like a specific interview series or some stand-up comedy content? Mm-hmm. No, I mean, there's obviously stuff like we talked about before. Like, I'd love to do more, like, Carpenter interview, like, more director interview-focused stuff. I'd love to do more just one-off. Let's talk about this movie that I love. I think Red Letter Media does a great job of doing, like, review. I think that's what they call it, R-E, boom, boom, view, where they just go back and they talk about, Temple of Doom or something like that.
That's funny. That's what I was pitching for when we, like, revisited some of the MCU movies. Yeah. I was like, we should call them reviewed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's great that, like, a giant channel has that already up. Makes me feel a little dumb.
Well, I mean, it's a great title. Yeah. And it's fun. It's just cool to have two people. It's fun to go back and watch some of those older movies and just sit there and really do a deep dive. I think they do a great job at cutting in the footage, B-roll, all that stuff, although how they use it, I have no idea. But I would love to do more more review stuff that's edited that people can actually, you know, that can just kind of talk about a movie without me having to tell you the plot beat by beat and actually have you see that visually. I think that'd be really cool. As for stand-up content, I mean, I'm still doing stand-up every single week. I would love to do more actual live shows for stand-up and have people come out to them like we did at RTX. That was a blast. We just unfortunately couldn't make it out this year. So hopefully I can do more of that. Life goal for me would be able to go on tour for Kind of Funny as a comic and just go to comedy clubs around the United States and in Canada and just be like, hey, guys, I'm coming to frickin' Vancouver or I'm coming to, not Montreal. Well, I guess Montreal has a lot of comedy, too. What's the other one? What am I missing? There's the three big Canadian states.
Quebec?
No, that's Montreal.
You gotta learn French for that.
Toronto. I'd love to come to Toronto. Do yuck yucks. That'd be fun. That's a life goal for me eventually. Maybe not this year. I got to get past the punchline first. But once that happens, I would love to just do like a couple weekends out of the month, just come hang out with everyone and just go on tour. That'd be fun. Kev, any other fun projects you want to do?
I just want to do more stuff with the space that we have and play around with figuring out how to, like, you know, do more little fun gimmicks that people will love over time. I'd love to have, anytime there's any comedian that you're, like, excited about, I'd love to be able to be like, let's have them on.
I'd love that.
And just put them on, the LED floor with two couches on it, and we have cool friends where you just sit down and interview them.
That'd be fun.
I think that would be a lot of fun. But, yeah, other than that, like, I just want to play with the spaces and see what we can do to enrich our content with what we have.
Make it better.
Yeah.
Make it great.
Takes time to figure out, though.
It's true. But it's part of the fun.
If you have any ideas, tweet them at me.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, I love getting ideas.
Folks, that's it for your Q&A for this month. Thank you guys all for being supporters over on Patreon for us. We really, really appreciate you guys. And we love making content for you. So if you guys have any ideas for stuff you want to see, of course, tweet those at Kevin or Tim. I've been Nick.
I've been Kevin.
And you guys have just been Q&A'd. See you later.
Ew.
Bye.